Please stand.
And we'd like you to sing this with us.
Scripture comes from Matthew 25th chapter 14 through 19. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another one 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them.
I want us to consider this morning the subject, a trust to keep. I think all of you probably know what a trust is. And in case you don't, I looked it up in the dictionary. And this is what I found. Something committed into the care of another. A charge. Now, that's not a charge like a credit card, but a charge like something committed to us. So if you have like a living trust, you know what a trust is. Christians have a trust to keep. And that this is exactly, I think, the imagery that the Lord is using here to help us to understand our responsibility in response to what he had said in Matthew chapter 24. I think I told you last week I wasn't going to preach any farther from the 24th chapter, and I've been true to that. It's the 25th chapter that we're looking at today. So, but it's a really a continuation of what Jesus said in chapter 24. He wants us to be ready because his coming is imminent, I believe. It could happen any time. And in the meantime, he has told us to occupy until I come. Now, you don't find that here in this gospel, but Luke, the parallel account in Luke, Jesus said, occupy until I come. And so we have a job to do, don't we? We have a trust to keep. Three aspects I want us to see of this trust. We have a trust to keep. First of all, we have a trust bestowed. I want to call our attention back to the scripture passage there because I'm going to repeat the reading of some of the verses here at least. But beginning at verse 14, Jesus told this story about a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. And we're told about how he entrusted various ones, three in this case here. But I think, don't you think we can find ourselves amongst those that Jesus entrusted talents, it says here. Now, don't be thrown off by that. This isn't talents in our popular sense of that word, which is really a derived sense because it's really talking about money. Thank you, I heard money. It's talking about money, isn't it? But I think the reason why we think of it more as talents is because Jesus is certainly talking more than money here, isn't he? He's talking about everything that he has entrusted to us as a stewardship. That means our very lives. And everything we are and have belongs to him. And so he entrusted, bestowed, if you will, a trust to each one. He said to each one he gave five talents of money and so forth. Now, that is the trust, the talents. Everything that God has given to you, he has given to you as a stewardship. One day he is going to call you to account for what he has entrusted to you. So it makes us introspective in a good sense. Now sometimes it's not good to be introspective or to be too introspective, but it's certainly good to think about what God has given to you. Now you probably are one of those who would say, I know some of you would probably say, as I would, that I don't have a lot of talents. I'm just an ordinary guy or gal. I don't really have a lot of the talents as most people think of it. I certainly don't have a lot of money, a lot of wealth. I don't have the movie star good looks that some have, and so forth. You know, I've wondered, well, why did Jesus tell this parable about one man who had received five talents? I mean, wouldn't you like to have been that man that had received the five talents? And he went out and he earned five more. Now, if I understand percentage correctly, that's 100%, isn't it? And the man who had received two talents, he went out and he earned two more. That's, again, 100%. But then there was this man, you know, don't you feel sorry for him? Kind of a hapless individual. We'd think very unlucky, unblessed. He only had one talent. And I've often wondered, why did the Lord tell this parable that way? If I had told it, I would have told it the other way around. I would have had the man that had the one talent go out, and I probably would have said he earned five more. And the one who had earned the five talents went out and he squandered it all and didn't have anything to show for it. Now, I've wondered why the Lord told this parable that way. And the only thing that I can conclude is that it was because most of us are like that one talent man. I think most of us are like that man with the one talent. Because I don't know how many Christians I've heard say, well, I'm not very talented. And usually that means, well, I can't sing. Or I can't, I don't have a lot of teaching ability. God hasn't gifted me to be a teacher. God hasn't gifted me to do this or that. And we tend to compare ourselves with those five talent people. Those multi-talented people, we call them. But let me ask you, what are you doing with the talent that God has given you? That's the trust. that He has bestowed upon us. And Jesus said we are to occupy, we are to improve upon that trust. There's the truster, of course. The truster is the person. I looked up in the website about legal terms, because I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand a lot of legal terms. But this is what I found to be the legal terms of a trust agreement. There's the trust or the trust property. There's a truster, the person who does the trusting, and he entrusts this property to a trustee that we'll look at in just a moment. But the truster obviously is the man going on a journey. And is that not a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ? He's going on a journey. He's going back to heaven. Now the Bible says that one day He's going to take another journey, and that journey is going to bring Him back. And I believe that that time is very near. And that's why we need to have our eyes upon the truster. We need to make the most of that talent, whatever it is that He has entrusted to us. Because most of us are like that one talent man. And we are the trustees, aren't we? We are the ones who have been entrusted with that trust. And let me make it a little more specific. We've had a nominating committee meet recently, and we've elected some new officers and teachers. But we've also re-elected most of you that have served, some of you for many years. So it's not really new for you, some of you. But for some, you are entering uncharted waters. And I commend you for that. But I also want to challenge each of us to make the most of that which has been entrusted to us. To give our best effort for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His kingdoms, for His kingdom's sake. Do your best for Him. Start each day with the prayer, Lord, help me to improve on that talent that You've given me and to make the most of it, because a trust has been bestowed to us. Well, there's a trust bettered here in this parable, isn't there? Two, bettered their master's trust. There was a word obeyed. Jesus said, occupy till I come. And He didn't mean just occupy a spot or occupy a position. What He meant was that we are to trade with that talent that He has given us. We are to earn another talent. We are to multiply it. So there's a word obeyed here in these two that were obedient. There's a work that was busied. They became busy about the master's business. And we need to be busy, don't we? Much depends upon our busyness. Now, I'm not talking about just busy running around in circles, as we often do. But I'm talking about busy about improving on what God has given to us, making the most of our talent, our ability, everything that God has entrusted to us. That includes our money, certainly. I think the best investment you can make is in the safest bank. And that safest bank, of course, is heaven. So if you want to invest, I would suggest you invest in eternity, because it's going to be there. And it's going to be there added to. It's going to be multiplied, that gift that you give to the Lord. It doesn't really matter the amount if you don't say you don't have much to give. Well, God can multiply that gift. Jesus multiplied the loaves and fish. If we will just offer it up to Him and offer our lives up to Him, He will multiply what we give. So there's a work busied in those that improved upon it. And there was a worth multiplied, obviously, because they earned 100%. Above what they had been given. It's kind of sobering to think, isn't it, that one day we are going to be called to account. The Bible says that there is a judgment seat of Christ that where we must all, even those of us especially, and in fact it will only be those of us who have given our lives to Christ and have accepted Him as our Savior. But we will have to give account to what we have done with that talent that our Lord has given to us. May we multiply it as we've seen here in this parable that Jesus told, the two that were faithful. But there's also a trust betrayed. The two were faithful. The one that was given five talents earned five more. The one that had two talents earned two more. And incidentally, Jesus said to each according to his ability. So if you're a five talent person, it's not guaranteed that you're going to earn those five talents more. You have to work harder because you have five talents. God is going to call you into account. You're going to be more strictly judged because of those talents that God has given you. But there was also one that we're told who had one talent, was given one talent. I've heard some people say, well, when brains were handed out in heaven, someone thought they said rain, and so they stayed away. And so they don't have anything. They don't have any brains. They don't have any good looks. They don't have talent. They don't have nothing. Now, you might be thinking that. But if I understand what the Lord is saying here, we each have a talent. At the very minimum, God has given you what you have. What are you doing with it? Well, here is a trust betrayed. This one that had received one talent, it says, went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, I think that there's an unfair complaint here. Later, when he was called to account, the man who had received the one talent said, "Master, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And so I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground." See, here is what belongs to you. Now, at least he kept that talent, didn't he? And we think, well, he did pretty well. That's how I think how corrupted our minds are. Because the Lord had nothing really good to say to this individual, did he? But he complained the unfairness. I think he probably looked at his five talent and two talent friends and said, "Well, God, why have you not blessed me like you blessed them? I only have one talent." And so I think maybe he gave in to that feeling of inferiority that the devil wants to put on all of us. You know, he wants us to think, well, we're nothing. We'll never be nothing. Never be anything, rather. To make us complain against God for not blessing us more, not giving us five talents or two talents. So there's an unfair complaint here. I think there's an unneeded conservatism. Now, I'm for conservatism. I'm for being conservative. But there's a point where we become so conservative that we become stingy. And I think that's what happened here. He became stingy with that one talent. And he hid it in the ground. And then when the Lord came back, he offered it up like it was a victory that he had saved this one talent. Well, that's not good enough, if I understand the Lord and his parable here. But there's an unneeded conservatism. I think it happens when we begin to think that, well, what could happen? All the things that could happen. If I really serve the Lord, if I really give that offering that he wants me to give, why, tomorrow, you know, what's going to happen? But doesn't the Bible say that we walk by faith and not by sight? Well, I see faith here in these five, the five-talent man and the two-talent man. They had enough faith to believe that God was going to multiply that they had been entrusted with. But perhaps because that one talent man, whom I think is like most of us, I think the vast majority of us are like that. Abraham Lincoln, I think, one time said that God must love the poor because he made so many of us. Well, God must love the one talent man because he made so many of us. But we need to beware, don't we, of an unneeded conservatism. And there was also an unsuccessful commerce here because of his attitude. Again, he betrayed that trust that his Lord put in him. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn entitled "A Charge to Keep I Have." And in that hymn he said, "A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. May it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with jealous care, as in thy sight to live. And thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray, and on thyself rely, assured that if my trust betray, I shall forever die." May God help us to keep that which has been entrusted to us, and not keep it like the one who only could offer what he had already been given. But may we multiply it. May we make the most of our time. May we make the most of our talent. May we make the most of all our other resources, including money, but certainly not limited to that, to the glory of our Master.